This evening we are continuing our series in Christian prayer, and we'll be looking at Lord's Day 47. Lord's Day 47, which you can find in the back of your Psalter hymnals, page 894. So page 894 in the back of the Psalter hymnal. I'll read this question and we can respond together with the answer. What does the first petition mean? Hallowed be your name means, help us to truly know you, to honor, glorify, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Our passage this evening is Psalm 8. So I invite you to open up your Bibles with me as we look at Hallowed be your name in light of this psalm, this prayer, this song that we have in Psalm 8. Before we turn our attention to God's word this evening, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, it's our prayer that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 8, beginning with verse 1, let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands and put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, in his commentary on Psalm 8, Derek Kidner says this psalm is an unsurpassed example of what a hymn should be, celebrating as it does the glory and grace of God, rehearsing who he is and what he has done, and relating us and our world to him, all with a masterly economy of words and in a spirit of mingled joy and awe. And then Kidner goes on and he adds, the range of thought takes us not only above the heavens and back to the beginning, but as the New Testament points out, it takes us to the very end as well. Now, as we look at Psalm 8 this evening, we're looking at it in light of the Lord's Prayer, specifically that request, hallowed be your name. Lord, make your name holy. And this psalm, it begins And it ends with, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That's the bookends of this psalm. Actually, the structure of this psalm is a chiastic structure, which you can imagine kind of a step pyramid with the beginning and the end of the psalm starting out, and then you move to the center of the psalm, and at the very center is the main focus and the main point of this psalm. And so we begin on the outsides, the beginning of the end of this psalm, with this doxology, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then we begin to move to the center. From the beginning, it's the heavens. At the end of the psalm, the focus is on the earth. All that God has done, the heavens and the place and all the creatures on earth. And then as we move to the very center of the psalm, you have the most fundamental question. In light of all creation, in light of the majesty of your name, what is man? What is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. How is it possible that mere human beings can be any concern to God? What significance do people have? Why would God care about us and for us? And the context of this psalm, the structure of this psalm, provides us with the answer. Here you have humans being described as the very center of creation, the center of the universe. They're right in between, the heavens on the one side and the earth on the other, but then they're enveloped with the glory and the majesty of God's name as the book ends to this psalm. And so as we look at this psalm this evening in light of hallowing God's name, we'll be following that structure, beginning with the majesty of God's name, and then secondly moving to the heavens above and the earth below, and then ending with this question, what is man that you are mindful of him? And so first, how majestic is your name in all the earth? When Jesus taught us how to pray, he teaches us that the first thing that we should pray for, before we pray for anything else, is that God's name would be glorified, would be set apart as holy. And that's exactly what Psalm 8 is doing. O Lord, our Lord. Now we probably haven't stopped to think about how this perspective of starting out with this desire to glorify God's name, to hallow God's name, totally changes our perspective. We probably haven't thought about what a complete reorientation this is for our prayer life. By putting God's glory and his majesty and his name first, the point of our prayers all of a sudden become God's glory, God's majesty. Sure, we can ask for other things, bring our requests before him, but the overriding concern is for the fame, the majesty, the honor, the hallowing of God's name, the glory of his name. It's as if we are praying, our Father in heaven, the concern nearest to my heart, the one that shapes everything I'm about to ask for, is that your name would be magnified in all the earth. That your name would be regarded as holy. That you would be honored among all of the nations, so that men everywhere take pleasure in you. That you would be praised forever. That's the most important thing for me, O Lord. Earlier we read question and answer 122 together. What does the first petition mean? What is the first request? What is the first thing that we are asking for in the Lord's Prayer? Well, hallowed be your name, it means help us to really know you. That's our deepest desire, to truly know God, to grow in that knowledge of God, to honor, glorify, and praise you. For what? For all your works and for all that shines forth from them. Well, what shines forth from God's works? Your almighty power, your wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. Praying, hallowed be your name, also means that we are asking God to help us direct all of our living. Everything that we think, everything that we say, everything that we do. So that we're not blaspheming God's name. But rather honoring and praising his name. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now at first, this refrain, O Lord, our Lord, might sound a little bit repetitive. But if you have your Bibles open and you look at it closely, you'll notice that the first, O Lord, is in all capital letters. And that's because it's referring to the divine name of God, Yahweh. So it's O Yahweh, so God's name. And then it gets personal, because the second Lord is written in lowercase with a capital L, and that's referring to Adonai. So it's O Yahweh, our Adonai. So O Yahweh, creator of all things, my, our Lord, Master, our Father. So here you have both the transcendent creator of all things, Yahweh, and the personal Lord who is described as ours. The one who receives praise from the lips of babies and infants. O Yahweh, our Adonai, O Yahweh, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. How majestic, how mighty, how significant, how awesome is your name. God's name, as we know, is more than just a title to identify him. His name encompasses all that he is and all that he does. His name encompasses everything that is revealed in all of creation and everything that is revealed in all of Scripture. So you've got general revelation and special revelation all being wrapped up in God's name. And we have to understand what God's name represents in order to understand the theme of Revelation throughout this psalm. Because his name, how majestic is your name, stands for the entire manifestation of God. General revelation, special revelation, all encompassed in his name. How majestic is your name in all the earth. This psalm is celebrating the general revelation of God, how he reveals himself in his majesty, in the greatness of creation. When I look at your heavens, I see your finger, the moon and stars which you have put in place. All of creation is declaring the glory of God. The majesty of his name permeates all of the earth. It transcends the heavens. It's more than just a title here. It's more than just what we refer to when we're thinking or talking or praying to God. It's who he is and what he does. And all that God has done, all that he has created, is a constant, never-ending song of praise. The universe never stops praising God, proclaiming, crying out his majesty in high-definition brilliance. Whether it's us standing on top of a silage pile enjoying a beautiful sunset, or a tiny monarch egg on the backside of a milkweed plant, all of creation is hallowing and praising and glorifying God, glorifying his name, which is who he is and what he's done. And as we look around from fields that are ready for harvest to trees starting to change color to bright orange pumpkins to the infant that's crying out, it's all of creation doing what it was meant to do. Bringing glory to God's name, declaring how majestic is your name. Hallowed be your name. But then from the beginning and the end, this doxology at the beginning and the end of this psalm, we take a step in to the glory above, talking about heaven, and the dominion below, talking about earth. You have set your glory above the heavens, the end of verse 1 says. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your hands, your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. Here, his name is majestic. His glory is set above the heavens. He is all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful, transcendent God. But as you see here, he is the one who is also receiving praise. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength. So you have the supremacy and transcendence of God, but also the personal. He is our Lord. He is our Father who cares for us. It's the Almighty God whose name is magnified in all the earth. The one who has set all of the heavens in place is the one receiving praise and then strength from babies, from infants, from children. From the lips of children and infants. You have ordained praise. You have established strength. Why? Because of your foes. To still, to silence the enemy and the avenger. Now what's going on here? The theme of children giving praise to God, that fits within this, how majestic is your name, hallowed be your name. But then the psalmist goes on to talk about silencing the enemies and the avenger. What is the psalmist talking about? What's David talking about here? Well, within the context of the book of Psalms, Psalm 7 is a prayer for protection against enemies. Against the enemies. And so when you compare Psalm 7 to Psalm 8, what we see is that human suffering and human glory, because we're talking about the honor and the glory of mankind here, that's not mutually exclusive. It's teaching us that the path to glory is often through suffering. The person crowned with glory and honor and given dominion over all things in Psalm 8 is the person who still needs protection from those enemies, the enemies who are attacking verbally. And the Lord's response, what the Lord needs to silence those enemies, is nothing more than an army of babies. The kings of rulers of earth will be silenced by the children praising him whose majestic name fills the earth. I mean, it's interesting how we see this working out when you fast forward to the New Testament and you have Palm Sunday and the children are crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David, and the chief priests and the scribes are angry and they say, don't you hear what they're saying? And then Jesus quotes Psalm 8. He said to them, have you never read, out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise. And it silenced them. The enemies. And that gives us a picture, a glimpse of who we are praying to. We're not just rattling off our prayers quick a second, but we're having a conversation with the creator and the sustainer of the entire universe, who's our Lord. Who's our Father? And this changes our perspective when it comes to prayer. And what's changing when it comes to prayer is us. It's not so much that God is the one who all of a sudden is magnifying his name in all the earth more than he was before, that God all of a sudden is now more holy than he was before because we prayed, hallowed be your name. He's as majestic and as holy as ever. We are the ones who are changing as we pray this. We are the ones that are asking God to help us to magnify his name. So really, our request, hallowed be your name, isn't so much, God, make your name more holy, but rather it is a request, God, help me to magnify your name. Help me to declare the holiness of your name. Help us to know what you have done, to really know you, to bless you and worship you for all of your works. Help us to know who you are, your almighty power and wisdom and kindness and justice and truth and mercy. In addition to focusing on the heavens, when you jump to almost the end of this psalm, you have a focus on the earth. The earth is where people who have been crowned with glory and honor exercise their dominion over the sheep and the cattle and the wild animals and the birds and the fish. Look at verse 5. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands and have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. And as we hear that, you think of Genesis 1 verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Here David in his praise to God for the majesty of his name is tying us in all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. And by mentioning both earth and heaven, David includes everything in between. All of creation is permeated with the majestic name of Yahweh. And even the word majestic points to God's visible power and his might. David focuses on our attention on the outward display of God's power and his glory expressed on full display in the heavens and throughout the earth. And the magnificence of the heavens on the one hand and the glory of the Lord that transcends heavens on the other come together, point us to the central question of this psalm. In light of all this, in light of the heavens above and the earth below, in light of the majesty of God's name in all the earth, who are we? What is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you care for him? It's interesting. In Hebrew, the question, what is man, uses the same word, the same question word for the question that happens at the beginning and the end of this psalm, how majestic. So how majestic and what is man is the same word, ma. And it ties, the repetition of that word, ma, ties our identity as humans to God's. And it reinforces the answer to the question that it's raised. Our glory and our authority, our dominion over creation isn't something that we come up with in and of ourselves, but rather it is from God. When you think of the structure of this, yes, we have authority over creation, but surrounding that is the majesty of God's name. That's the foundation that we are standing on, the majesty of God's name in all the earth, that is expressed in the heavens and in the earth. And that's where man fits in, right in the middle as the crown of creation, because he's been created in the image of God. And it's because of that that we as image bearers of God have the unique opportunity to hallow his name, to glorify his name, to praise his name. Our dominion, our authority over creation is rooted in, has its legitimacy because it's in the context of hallowing God's name. So on the one hand, by placing this question, what is man that you're mindful of him, between heaven and earth, David is providing the answer to his own questions. What is man that you're mindful of him? Well, mere human beings are right in the center of the universe, right in the center of creation. You could say that heaven and earth revolve around us. And this statement of man's dominion highlights our unique and central position in creation, highlights how mankind is the crown of creation. Now think about that. Man is the center of the universe. Don't think about it in an arrogant, getting a big head sort of way, but rather in a God-glorifying way. As the center of the universe, we are the objects of God's thought and of His care. So you have that on the one hand, but on the other hand, we aren't the ultimate in the universe. Because the way that this psalm is laid out shows that man's glory and his authority ultimately comes from God. He's standing on God as the ultimate foundation. We've been made a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned with glory and honor. All that we are depends on God. Apart from Him, we are nothing. And that makes the answer to this question even more glorious, because God once again stoops down to our level. You made Him a little lower than the heavenly beings, a little lower than God, made in the image of God. You crowned Him. You made Him ruler over the works of God. You put everything under His feet. Now, what does that mean? It means that we're created in God's image, created a little lower than the heavenly beings. And the word here for heavenly being is actually Elohim, which is the plural for God in Hebrew. Another reference back to Genesis 1. Creation of, in the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. David is tying us back to the very beginning once again. We were created in God's image to do what? To rule over creation. Not in a domineering or plundering sort of way, but in a way that reflects God's image, the one who created us in the first place. So then how is this psalm fulfilled? Here we have David describing man as being crowned with glory and honor, having everything placed under his feet. Everything under man's authority. And so the question is, well, does all of creation submit to our rule at this point? Do the wind and the waves obey you? Can you summon the rain when it's needed or command the snow to melt? And the answer is no. I mean, people are still killed by animals, by viruses, exposed to weather, natural disasters. If everything's under our feet, why does this still happen? And the answer is because this is not yet fully realized. David understood the glory and the authority articulated by this psalm had not been yet fully realized in history. And that's where Paul and the Epistle of the Hebrews steps in as they explain that this psalm is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? We have not yet seen all things put under their authority, says Hebrews 2 verse 8. What we see is Jesus, who was given a position a little lower than the angels, and because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Hebrews 2, verse 6 through 11, there is a place where someone has testified, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by grace, by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. The answer to the fall is the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ. Psalm 8 is primarily, first of all, referring to Jesus Christ as the second Adam. And it's only in Him that we then are crowned with glory and honor and ruling over all things in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the man who is crowned with glory and honor, made a little lower than the heavenly beings, crowned with glory and honor. Literally a man. Literally ascending and reigning in glory. And I'm not just saying literally here for emphasis. I say it in the full sense of the word. Because currently Christ is a man who is crowned and reigning and ruling over all. Has all things been placed under His feet. He's the fulfillment of this psalm. Ephesians 1 verse 22. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. And what that means for us is that it's only in Christ that we are fully the rulers of creation and crowned with glory and honor. It's only in Christ that we are able to hallow God's name. Lord, help us to truly know You and to honor and glorify and praise You for all Your works and for all that shines through them. Your almighty power and wisdom and kindness and justice and mercy and truth. Help us to direct all of our living, what we say and think and do, so that Your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Lord, help us to truly know You and to honor You and to glorify and praise You for all that You have done. And for everything that shines forth from Your works, Your almighty power and Your wisdom and Your kindness, Your justice, mercy, and truth. And it's our prayer, Lord, that You will help us to direct all of our living, what we think and what we say and what we do, so that Your name is never blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.